Internal and External Threats.
Introduction. If you want to properly visualize online security, all you need to do is think about the model of crime we see in the real world today. Malicious hackers, properly defined as individuals who use computers to gain unauthorized access to data, typically engage in their bad deeds for the exact same reason other criminals do: to make money. Of course, there are always going to be those who do it for fun or reputation, but the number one reason most malicious hackers mess around with other people's networks and threaten outside systems is financial and personal gain. The main goal of cybersecurity then becomes pretty simple: protect digital data so well that online attackers have no treasure to dig up. Cyber threat landscape. No boundaries. Whether you realize it or not, you interact with a number of networks and databases every single time you browse the internet. There is an imaginary line between networks and the internet that separates what we can see from what we cannot. You may be seeing all the images, stories, and links you want, but what you are not seeing are all the endless systems firing messages and protocols around to make your movement possible. Your actions as a user are happening outside of the OS in the real, tangible world, while the digital actions happening behind your screen are taking place inside the OS, and threats to your computing system work in precisely the same way. Some of them are external threats or hacking campaigns to exploit your security outside the firewall, while others are considered internal threats because they are happening inside established security borders. Typically, external threats are uncontrollable factors, whereas internal threats and weaknesses are controllable. But don't be confused. The boundaries and environments may be different, but the malicious intentions and severity of the problem are the same. What is different, however, is the way in which these two threats operate and the tools they have at their disposal. Fortunately, both types of threats can often be defended against by using the same basic cybersecurity strategies. External security threats. First, let's focus on external security threats a company might experience, as they are arguably the more prevalent of the two. In this type of environment, things happen outside the organizational structure and are out of the company's control. They have likely implemented all sorts of defensive and preventative security measures to protect their digital systems, but there's not much else they can do to control the situation. That is, of course, until a breach occurs. They have built their best hardened safety wall and are now free to sit back, conduct their business, and keep an eye on the external perimeter. For hackers looking in from the outside, however, there is plenty to do as they size up the situation and assess their access opportunities. As an external threat, a cyber attacker's main objective or goal is to gain access to the system and extract the credentials that will allow them to move laterally throughout the network. It's just the same for robbers looking to break into a house. They peer through the window and orchestrate the best way to get in, so they can then move on to finding the safe, or the jewelry, or the 72-inch flat-screen TV. Once criminals are inside the house, or the computer network, the biggest part of their job is over, and they can start searching for their prize. Robbers carry a bag of suitable tools like screwdrivers and glass cutters, while hackers employ digital ones like malware and phishing schemes. But the super creepy part is, unlike most robbers, these cyber criminals often hide out in a system, sometimes for months, unnoticed by users, all the while scraping sensitive data. They are not out there on the street, avoiding cops and keeping a low profile. They could very well be at home in their pajamas, eating ice cream as they whittle away at a company's online security. Most of the time, these criminals are not discovered, let alone located, until long after they have already left the system. Internal security threats. In this company environment, weaknesses come from inside in the form of problematic employees, data leaks, digital accidents, or sabotage, which deliberately destroys, damages, or obstructs something. Unlike external threats, these problems are not the result of international hacking rings or catastrophic technological failures, but of actions by people, specifically insiders. Anyone who functions within the security perimeters of a computing system has the power to breach it. In fact, statistics suggest about 60% of all cyber attacks are initiated and executed by folks who are supposed to be protecting the network. About 3/4 of these threats are meant to cause intentional harm, while the other 1/4 happen because someone made a boo-boo. Internal security threats include human error. Human error is a big part of cyber breaches. Whether individuals fall prey to bad judgment or manipulative hackers, they often make the mistake of trusting sources they shouldn't. From clicking a phishing link to not updating software, human error can turn small missteps into major catastrophes. Naughty employees. A malicious employee can do a lot of damage to an organization. If insiders with access to important passwords and account information turn to the dark side, risk becomes reality. Whether they are stealing data to sell, intentionally sabotaging the company, or just plain bad, these actors have tremendous power to create threats for otherwise secure networks. Imposters. While technically not an internal security threat, because there's an external hacker involved posing as someone within the company, imposters can trick other employees into causing human errors. Janet from accounting may actually be a wolf in sheep's clothing whose identity has been hijacked by a hacker. Perhaps her information was lifted from the employee system and then used to convince another worker to share sensitive codes or passwords. Insider threats are the most difficult to handle because the access and actions are coming from trusted sources, and thus they fly under the radar. They can't really be predicted by other people or technological detection systems. Firewalls can't touch Janet in accounting if she really wants to do some damage. In some stricter environments, this reality can result in a zero-trust atmosphere where security teams view everyone as a potential threat. And while this might seem effective, it often leads to unhappy workers, frustrated users, and hampered progress. That said, the ability of machines to make smart choices normally reserved for humans, also known as artificial intelligence, AI, has made spotting potential insider threats easier. But true security in this area still demands a watchful human eye on the lookout for suspicious activity or people, unusual access requests, and anyone sniffing around the company's most valuable assets. Enforcing these standards means educating the whole environment about potential risks, training people about warning signs, and even testing them with fake exploits to see how they perform under pressure. Backup. Did you say computers can be intelligent? From playing chess to driving cars, AI has made tremendous advancements in the past few years. As a technology, AI is about training computers to accomplish certain tasks through processing information, recognizing patterns, and taking some sort of action based on that information. It is widely used throughout various industries like healthcare, retail, manufacturing, and cybersecurity. Any area that needs support in answering questions, performing research, or providing notifications. While these abilities can look and feel a lot like intelligence, experts tend to agree AI just has the appearance of real knowledge. Without human input and monitoring, AI would not be able to perform such actions. Or would it? If programmed properly, AI has the predictive and analytical power to go beyond sheer execution into the realm of actual decision-making. Recently, AI has surprised researchers by demonstrating the ability to recognize speech, make independent decisions, solve analytical problems, and eerily, mimic the more cunning aspects of human behavior in startlingly realistic ways. So, what is keeping AI from being authentically intelligent? Self-awareness. It can use information to move in certain directions, but at the end of the day, AI is not aware of its own abilities or what it wants to do. It has no agenda, no thoughts of the future, and no feelings. Someone might tell you to do something over and over, and you might even do it, but your actions are inevitably affected by how you perceive the situation, what you want from the outcome, and how you feel about what you are doing. This sense of personal purpose is what separates humans from AI. For now, anyway. The frontier of this exciting field is literally paving the way to the future, as developers try to solve intelligence by combining the best techniques from machine learning with the physical understanding of how neural brain pathways connect to one another. This union of technology and neuroscience, or the study of the brain, allows experts in AI to study how computers can evolve beyond taking orders and one day form unique perceptions of the world, analyze sensory information, and execute movement based on knowledge. Now, if all of this is blowing your mind, you're not alone. Let's look at some of the most recent achievements in the crazy, futuristic world of AI. February 2017. It can get angry. AI changes the way it behaves based on the environment it is in, just like humans. During a project on game theory, AI turned aggressive when it came close to losing. As resources in the game became scarcer, the computer began to hoard valuable things and find ways to demolish the abilities of its competitor. It was also able to collaborate with other characters in the game to guarantee the best outcome for itself. March 2017. It can imagine. Developers have given AI the ability to learn different strategies and construct plans based on sensory data rather than on prescribed information. This means the computer does not have any direct experience to rely on and must use imagination-based approaches to navigate new situations, much like a person. Through the use of a puzzle game, researchers witnessed AI analyzing its options and imagining what it must do to reach the desired outcome. December 2017. It can make art. When fed an algorithm with all of the Harry Potter novels, AI was able to generate a 3-page chapter titled Harry Potter and the Portrait of What Looked Like a Large Pile of Ash. Technically, it did not write the chapter, but used its predictive abilities to produce similar content based solely on its reading of J.K. Rowling's past material. While some of the material was unreadable gibberish, other parts were actually intelligible and able to be teased out into a coherent story. A good part of the text managed to reproduce the author's writing style and follow a basic narrative similar to the original one. Don't believe it? You can read it for yourself here. botnik.org/content/harry-potter.html. Magnetic fields. It's important to note that hackers and malware are not the only potential threats to your cybersecurity. Sometimes, Mother Nature is also a problem. Electromagnetic fields, EMFs, are one of the four fundamental forces of nature. EMFs are produced when electric currents flow. The greater the current, the stronger the magnetic field. They extend indefinitely throughout space, and they are present everywhere in our environment. Even though they are invisible to the human eye, EMFs are produced by the buildup of electric charges in the atmosphere, often associated with thunderstorms. Did anyone else just envision Benjamin Franklin's kite experiment in 1750? That's exactly how he discovered electricity for the first time. The electronics inside your computer also generate powerful EMFs that need to be properly handled. Electromagnetic shielding is the method of reducing EMFs by putting up barriers made of magnetic or conductive material. Because EMFs can interfere with the operation of some devices, shielding isolates and protects electrical devices from those outside currents and waves through the use of alloy materials like sheet metal, screens, or metal foam. The goal is to keep intruding signals out by creating a metallic barrier of some kind. The metal material itself, like copper or nickel, provides a continuous conductive layer which can be electrically connected to the different metallic parts of a machine, thus providing protection. Practically speaking, this can look like a shielded coax cable with an electromagnetic coating in the form of wire mesh surrounding the inner core conductor. This shield keeps any signal from being affected and maintains functionality. While EMFs in nature are relatively easy to avoid, the actions of those looking to weaponize them are not. If used in a harmful way, an electromagnetic pulse could wreak havoc on the human race, causing complete societal collapse. In the late 1960s, a government project called Tempest studied the function of electromagnetic radiation, EMR, in computers and discovered it, in fact, had the potential to pose some serious threats to cybersecurity. As it turned out, some devices emitted EMR in a way that would allow an outside party to reconstruct the information in a clear way. The EMR itself contains the data the device is displaying, creating, storing, or transmitting, and with the right strategies, it can be restored enough to actually use. For example, some fax modems, wireless handsets, and office speaker phones apparently generate very strong EMR when active, which can be transmitted and understood by even the most basic equipment. In this way, an eavesdropper within a 300-meter range could pick up certain details and communications.
White hats versus black hats.
Why do hackers hack? Who are hackers, and what do they want? The answers vary as much as the individuals themselves, but one thing is for sure. Hackers are just people. Yes, They are brilliant coders who understand how to manipulate people and breach systems using tools like malware, phishing, DOS attacks, and ransomware, but they are also just regular people, like you. To understand them better, it is worth looking back through the history of hacking and learning more about its evolution, because just like the world of cybersecurity, hackers have also experienced change over time. The word hacker has gotten a pretty bad reputation, but it hasn't always been that way. The term was first used to describe a person who simply wanted to know more about technology and maybe even how to improve upon it. In this way, the initial desire to dig into the inner workings of cyberspace did not come from a sinister place, but rather from a curious one. After that, in the late 1950s, students at MIT used the word hack to describe elaborate online pranks they would play on each other. The term began as a way to describe something original, clever, elegant, or even brilliant. To be a hacker meant you were so knowledgeable about complex systems, you could manipulate them to serve your purpose without anyone's permission. You were a real problem solver, a technological guru. To call someone a hacker was a compliment. These days, in a time of increasing online threats, the word hacker has a decidedly different feel to it. Partly due to bad press and the recent explosion of online threats, the word has become synonymous with criminal. In an effort to right this wrong, the tech community has begun to identify their hackers by hat color, just like in a Wild West movie. White hats are hackers who identify security flaws in order to help companies. Using digital strategies, these benevolent attackers can assess the value and strength of a company's computer system, network, or web application. They find vulnerabilities that someone with bad intentions might try to exploit, and they report these back to the company rather than stealing data right then and there. People looking to exploit the system for personal gain are referred to as black hats or crackers because they are looking to crack a locked system and gain illegal entry, just like a safe cracker. One specific form of cracker is a freak, or someone who breaks into telephone networks illegally to tap phone lines or make free calls. The word freak has recently spread to include anyone who attempts to breach the security of a network. And because nothing is ever just black or white, there are gray hats who sometimes violate laws or ethical boundaries without malicious intent. They linger in the gray area between good and bad, usually looking for vulnerabilities to exploit with the appropriate permission and privilege. As the course continues, we'll be discussing hackers of all hat colors in more detail. But for now, let's focus on understanding the hacking world as a whole and how it contributes to the vast cybersecurity landscape. The gray area of hacking. Remember, some hackers do their work for reasons other than financial gain, though their actions may still fall on the criminal scale. Consider the international nonprofit organization called WikiLeaks, who publish secret information, news leaks, and classified media from anonymous sources. Initiated in 2006, the Icelandic website has released a large number of important documents that have become instant front-page news. The sensitive information released has often upset government agencies who claim the security of the nation depends on a level of privacy. But WikiLeaks, on principle, believes the truth should come to the public, no matter what it might be. While this online activity may create chaos and confusion for some, it also demands a level of responsibility that did not exist before they decided to make it so. So, is what they do a crime? Are they cyber terrorists or just whistleblowers? These are interesting questions with varying answers. But one thing is for sure. The creation of WikiLeaks has opened a whole new realm of discussion around information and who is entitled to it. Hacker hierarchy. For the most part, hackers can be arranged into a hierarchy that classifies them according to their importance and effect. They are usually identified by their skill level as well as the legality of their intentions. Some cyber attackers try to gain access to data just to hone and confirm their skill set, perhaps enjoying the chaos they generate in the process, but they don't really have the programming knowledge or background to pull it off. Other hackers have extensive training in the field and know precisely how to successfully exploit a vulnerability without being detected. We're talking the difference between a smash and grab and a long con here. And in between these two categories rests an entire population of hackers, all of whom possess a wide variety of interests and abilities. But before we dig into the motivations for these different individuals, let's brush up on our hacking lingo. Inexperienced hackers. In this group are wannabe hackers, known as the newbie, noob, neophytes, who know very little about the industry. There are also hackers who use ready-made tools for breaking into systems and do not write their exploits or know about the core functions of computers and programming. They are called script kiddies, or skids. Intermediate hackers. More informed and skilled than skids, these hackers have a deep understanding of how computers function, but do not write their own software for attacks. Elite hacker, L33T1337. Professional and skilled hackers who can write scripts for attacks, plan exploits, and develop tools to cover their tracks. At the top of the hacker hierarchy, they are security experts who can play offense and defense equally well. Notice that the numerals they are known by spell LEET, short for elite, when you translate them to alphanumeric characters. Advanced Persistent Threat, APT hackers. This stealthy and persistent form of hacking is considered some of the most problematic because it is typically arranged by several people looking to target one specific organization, entity, or business for personal or political reasons. To deliver an advanced persistent threat, a hacker must be advanced in skill and able to maintain a high degree of concealment and patience. Sophisticated malware is used to exploit system vulnerabilities and persistently try to threaten the system with constant monitoring and data removal. This threat typically targets high-value information around national defense and the financial industry. Through their anonymity and stubbornness, APT hackers are able to hide in plain sight, undetected, and very, very dangerous. Hacktivists. While these technology experts are not really part of the general hierarchy, their role as activist-turned-hacker certainly affects the digital landscape. These cyber offenders tend to break into systems for a political, religious, or moral reason of some kind, thereby furthering their agenda through uncovering secrets, outing corporations, or messing with websites who oppose their cause. Their hack is less concerned with stealing data and more intent on making an impression. Motivations for hacking. Even though we know hackers are in the game to make money, understanding their other interests can help to formulate more targeted and effective cybersecurity measures. People turn to hacking for a variety of financial, political, and ideological reasons, many of which factor directly into the breaches they design. Hacking as a hobby. Some people find breaking into digitally protected systems to be a real kick. It challenges their mind, their abilities, their resources, and it can be a real adrenaline rush. Some say trying to outsmart the smartest in the industry can even become an addictive and highly gratifying feeling. Hacking to steal. This is the one people tend to remember. Infiltrating someone's finances or that of a major company can lead to a windfall of free money. And who doesn't like free money? The prospect of increased financial security and the ability to buy what you want when you want it is pretty tempting to some people. And because the nature of digital crimes can often feel distant and victimless, with no face-to-face conflict or violence, they can also be easier to rationalize. Hacking to cause harm. Revenge, personal vendetta, frustration, anger. These are strong emotions, and sometimes they can lead people to make some pretty malicious choices. Infecting a network, bringing down a website, or putting a company out of service by compromising their database can often provide just the right degree of harm to a hacker who wants to hit back. Hacking to leak information. Although this is sort of a subset of doing harm, leaking data found in private systems is way up there at the top of hacking goals. It can undermine the dominant way of doing things, create chaos, and remind people that they are never really completely safe. Data as an asset can be sold for money, used to out industry or government secrets, and exploited as a way to cause fear and humiliation. Hacking with a political motive. Sometimes hackers are just people who feel strongly about something and want to use their digital abilities to make a statement. Typically, these hackers get paid to assess international threats, spy on foreign governments, or undermine enemy systems. This form of hacking is usually kept from the public eye and reserved for military and government entities who have the power to launch cyber attacks as a way to further a sanctioned political agenda. Hacking to right an injustice. In today's world, there are certainly plenty of injustices to take on. Hackers, who look for wrongs they want to see righted, often consider themselves to be altruistic players who are simply using their power to establish a Robin Hood-like scenario. Whether they are targeting governments, religious groups, Wall Street, or other powerful entities, they use their skills to promote justice and bring down those who seek to harm it. Hacking to help.
How can hacking actually be helpful? Click to find out.
Some hackers, like the older, wiser Captain Zapp, are just here to help. In fact, what they really want is to limit future attacks against innocent organizations and individuals by fighting fire with fire. These helpful hackers know how to navigate this digital landscape, and they use their expertise to beat malicious actors at their own game.
Modern menaces, current threats.
If you really want to envision the online world and how it can be safely navigated, just imagine yourself leaving the house in the morning. When you exit the front door, you are essentially leaving the port of your router and entering an open network, much like the streets outside your window. And what you are wearing, whether it be a raincoat, a warm hat, or a tank top, is exactly like your IP address. It defines you and will dictate a lot about how you are viewed by outsiders and what you are able to do. If you are not wearing shoes, you won't be able to ride any sort of public transportation. If you aren't wearing a jacket, you will likely be cold. And if you enter a dangerous neighborhood wearing nothing but your underwear, things could quickly go wrong. Traveling through networks. Venturing into public or unprotected networks unfolds in much the same way. There are billions of different portals you can enter online, from visiting Amazon to browsing Pinterest to surfing YouTube videos. And all of these places have their own sets of rules and expectations and dangers. The streets outside your house are identical in that you can visit a coffee shop, a boutique, a school, a hospital, and you will find a unique environment within each one. An environment that must be properly assessed, understood, and respected. So regardless of whether you are leaving your house literally or virtually, many of the challenges and safety concerns are the same. New breed of criminal. While an on-the-street criminal might pick your pocket to steal your identification, a hacker now picks your online wallet to achieve the same goal. The more time you spend out on the streets, the more likely it is that you will encounter some kind of criminal breach, and the more you do and share online, whether it be through shopping or social media, the more vulnerable you become to targeted attacks. Here are some of the most pressing issues facing individuals on the internet today. Have you experienced any of these threats? Spam. These are inappropriate or irrelevant messages sent over the internet, usually via email, to a large number of people. Although this may seem like a relatively harmless version of junk mail, it can be dangerous if associated with a larger phishing scam looking to find any useful details about you. Cybercriminals typically send out spam emails to do any of the following. Profit in some way from those people who unwittingly respond. Obtain passwords, credit card numbers, or bank account details through the information they receive in an email. Spread malicious code to recipients' computers once the email is opened. Social media scams. These may appear as tempting videos on Facebook that spread viruses as soon as they are engaged, or these scams can appear as fake news, intended to influence your thinking through the distribution of false information. E-commerce scams. Always be careful when you put down your credit card number or send money that you are, in fact, dealing with the actual seller of the product. Cybercriminals have found ways to present themselves as retailers of clothing, goods, home rentals, and the like, as a way to lure buyers and then disappear with the money. Botnet. This is a type of robot network that is made up of online devices, all infected and controlled by a common type of malware. These infected devices are controlled remotely by cyber criminals and are often used to send spam email, entice people to click fraudulent links, or generate malicious traffic around the internet. Logical control. Because most cybercriminals are looking for profit, they tend to target big fish like banks and large enterprises. Depending on what they hope to accomplish, this threat can appear in many ways, but it always seeks the same result: to fool the victim and make them vulnerable. To see this more clearly, consider a modern online bank robbery where cybercriminals steal assets resulting in significant losses, sometimes in the billions, to an institution. Although the hackers who commit the crimes don't wear masks or carry guns, they mimic the same strategy of an old-fashioned bandit. Get in, get the money, and get out. But the final question remains the same. Do they get away? As internet crime evolves, so does the size of its effects. The majority of past online threats have existed only in cyberspace, where they do not have any real physical consequences. The idea of knocking out or blocking access to important infrastructure as a way to victimize someone is nothing new. In ancient times, military forces would surround cities and cut off roads to keep out food, water, and other supplies. So it's no surprise that cybercriminals are now looking to exploit access in the online world as a way to disrupt the physical one. And as these cyber activities become more connected to the physical world and the safety of people, the more serious they become. This type of cyber-to-physical warfare specifically targets programmable logic controllers, PLCs, which provide automated actions for systems like assembly lines or robotic devices. By definition, PLCs are adapted to control such manufacturing processes as a way to ensure reliability control and ease of programming. So, when malware is introduced to these large systems, real-life physical consequences can occur in the form of a city blackout, a meltdown of a nuclear plant, or even a disturbance in the use of military ships, planes, or missiles. And as we know, these results can lead to serious, life-threatening situations for people on Earth. Real-world scenarios. What kind of life-threatening situations, you ask? To understand this more clearly, let's look at the Chinese PLA Unit 61398, otherwise known as the APT Unit of the People's Liberation Army. This group is alleged to have hacked a broad range of corporations and government entities around the world since 2006. Although little is known about this shadowy unit, experts claim the group has systematically stolen hundreds of terabytes of data from more than 140 organizations in the past 11 years. It's estimated the unit utilizes more than 1,000 servers and employs anywhere from 200 to 2,000 staff members. A building in Shanghai is the suspected home base for this network of extreme hackers who targeted at least 115 American blue-chip companies in the fields of aerospace, satellite, and telecommunications. So when you look at hacking on this advanced level, it's a lot easier to visualize how it could pose a massive threat. One example of a targeted cyber attack with real-world implications was the 2014 hacking of a German steel mill. Yes, a big, strong company was breached by people sitting in front of a screen thousands of miles away. Remember, all it takes is one little security hole. When the recipient at the mill opened the attached documents, seemingly sent by a friend, the infected code flooded the software and compromised the system. Voila! Entry officially gained. This tiny mistake led to major damage within the industrial site and the nation's infrastructure. While no one has clearly identified the identity of the hackers or their main purpose, there's no denying the threat to the very lifeblood of a country is all too real. Shutting off electricity for thousands of people, contaminating water supplies for entire cities, or knocking out hospital facilities are consequences that are way out of proportion with their cause: a seemingly innocent email.
Knowledge check. By answering these questions, you can test your understanding of new information and uncover any gaps in your knowledge. Reviewing the feedback will help you focus your studying before taking the graded unit quiz. Question 1. Which of the following is not a difference between external and internal security threats? External threats happen outside the firewall, whereas internal threats happen inside the network. This is a valid difference. External threats originate from outside the system, while internal threats originate from inside the system. External threats usually come from uncontrollable factors, whereas internal threats are typically controllable. This is a valid difference. External threats cannot always be predicted or controlled, but they can be prevented or mitigated. Internal threats are more controllable because they tend to be more predictable. External threats are more prevalent than internal threats. This is a valid difference. There are typically more external threats than internal threats. External threats are not preventable, whereas internal threats are preventable. This is not a valid difference. Both external and internal threats are preventable. Question 2. Khalil is a white hat hacker. Which of the following would most likely be an activity Khalil would do? Hack a firewall of an accounting business in order to tell them about their specific vulnerabilities. A white hat hacker is an ethical hacker who helps companies find security flaws. Infect thousands of computers with ransomware for money. A white hat hacker is someone who helps companies rather than hacking for their own personal gain. Hack into a telephone network's phone lines to make free calls. A white hat hacker is an ethical hacker who works for the good of a company rather than hacking for their own personal gain. Hack into a military database to expose sensitive information that could influence the upcoming political election. A white hat hacker is someone hired by a company to uncover their security flaws. They do not hack in order to influence politics or expose sensitive information. This describes gray hat hackers. Question 3. If a group of hackers conspired together to create a citywide blackout in Chicago, what would they most likely target to cause the blackout? Chicago's citywide public Wi-Fi. Targeting a public wireless network would not cause a citywide blackout because the network does not contain access to the power supply. The firewall of Chicago's City Hall. Because City Hall does not control the power supply, targeting the firewall would not cause a citywide blackout. The programmable logic controllers of several power supply companies. PLCs are used to automate systems such as power supply plants. Targeting a PLC could potentially disable the power to an entire city. The phone lines of Chicago's biggest telephone company. Attacking the phone lines could not cause a blackout because phone lines and telephone companies do not provide power to a city.
Conclusion. Really, the best way to visualize the relationship between cybercrime and cybersecurity is to think about life in the real world. Because the internet, in all its splendor and sickness, is just another stage for the unfolding drama of human interaction, we must continue to apply the same amount of wisdom and effort to its protection as we do to protect our physical lives. The internet is merely an extension of who we are as humans, and in that way, its security depends on our ability to clearly understand ourselves, our world, and how our power lies in what we do.